1 Corinthians chapter number 16, and let's look at verse number 13. We'll begin reading there. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse number 13. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. Let all your things be done with charity. I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanus, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. That you submit yourselves unto such and to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. I am glad for the coming of Stephanus and Fortunatus and Achaicus, for that which was lacking on your part they have supplied, for they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore acknowledge ye them that are such. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heads bowed, eyes closed. I'm gonna preach on this subject, a healthy addiction. A healthy addiction. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd please, Lord, fill me with your spirit and anoint me afresh and anew even now, Lord, as I stand here. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd give my mind the alertness that it needs, my body the strength it needs, and Lord, energize and excite my spirit as I have the opportunity to preach your word. And I thank you for these good people, Lord, and I thank you for what we were allowed to see here in this past week. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. And Lord, we want to be like Jesus. We want to be a church that loves the children. And Lord, I think that that was evidenced this week, that we've got at least a little bit, Lord, of a touch of what you want us to have. Help us, Lord, to increase. And Lord, I pray, dear God, not just that one ministry, not that one group, but Lord, that we would be a church that is addicted to the ministry. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And you may be seated. I was raised in a Christian home. Not everyone in here can say that. My parents were saved when I was 5 years old. I have no really memory or recollection of anything but being raised in church, raised in a Christian home. There's a great advantage to that in many ways. By the way, if you didn't have that opportunity, you know what? I think that the Lord never has made a mistake. I think he's allowed people to be put where they were and when and who they're with and raised the way they were raised. And God can use you whether or not you were raised in a Christian home or not. And in some ways, you may be more tender-hearted and more understanding about certain things if God allowed you to be raised in a different circumstance. But because I was raised in a Christian home, there was a lot of things that I was sheltered from. By the way, amen. Praise the Lord. Some of you Christian young people are like the little dog that's in the fence, and they want to sit there and yap, 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 and they see these big dogs walk by, and they yap, 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 and wish they were free and felt like they're a prisoner. And the honest truth is, if it wasn't for that fence, that big dog out there would eat you alive. You ought to stop looking at that fence as something that is there to rob you of your freedom, and you ought to look at, thank God for that, the fences that your parents have set up in your life to protect you from a mean, cruel, and wicked world. By the way, stop trying to dig under those fences. Stop trying to crawl over the top of those fences. Once you get out there, you may find it's not as much fun as it looks like from the inside looking out. But thank God for the fences. Thank God for the boundaries. Thank God that I was raised in a sheltered situation. Because of that, I wasn't exposed to a lot of addiction problems. But when I went off to Bible college and registered to Bible college as a 17-year-old young man, and in the up years following that, and especially during the years where I was blessed to be able to do a lot of inner city Chicago work, you talk about being thrust into it. You talk about having to confront it. You talk about seeing it week in and week in out firsthand. And by the way, some of you have lived it. Some of you were raised in those situations. You know exactly what I'm talking about. What are you talking about, Brother Jerry? I'm talking about harmful addictions. I'm talking about addictions that can get a hold of people's lives and destroy their health and destroy their marriage and destroy their family and destroy their children. And you talk about see it firsthand. Listen, young people, that's if you want to learn about this type of things, then what, the way you want to learn about it is by helping people that are on the end of it, not at the beginning of it, but on the end of it. And you follow me. By the way, you get in a car. Let's drive up to inner city Chicago. Let's drive by all the billboards that tell about how wonderful booze is, and let's get right into the inner city and see the end result of booze. I mean, you go with me and knock on doors. You have a mother's come to the door with swollen eyes and busted lips because Friday night, daddy came home drunk. And by the way, you go on in the house and there's nothing in the refrigerator and there's nothing in the cupboard. You know why? Because daddy got his paycheck, but on the way home, he drank it away and gambled it away and wasted it away and had it taken from him. And another week, a mother has to try to figure out how to feed children without anything. Listen, let me tell you something. You won't be enthralled a bit. You won't be fooled a bit by those billboards when you're confronted with some of this. I remember one Sunday morning jumping off my bus in inner city Chicago, and we'd had quite a bit of snow the night before, and we were running up to the houses, and I went and ran around the edge of a car and went to run in between two cars to go up to knock on a door and get some kids out, and tripped and fell right on my face in about a foot and a half of snow. Just tripped and fell right on my face. And looked back and thought, what in the world did I trip over? And there underneath the snow was a man who on the way home didn't quite make it home. He was drunk, and he was laying there, and it had snowed on top of him, and he was barely alive. And I got up to the house and was able to call those that would help, and the paramedics came, and they laughed and cut up and joked the whole time they were loading him on the stretcher. Oh, Joe, or whatever his name was, here he is again. One of these days he's going to be dead, laughing like it was a regular thing. Now, how come they don't have a picture of that on the billboards? How come that's never on the TV? How come they don't spend $2.5 million or whatever it is for a 30-second slot during the Super Bowl and just show people that? How come nobody does that, you see? And folks, there's a lot of harmful addictions out there. Young people, listen to me. Please, 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 please listen to me. We have a society that's overrun with a drug problem. Overrun with the drug problem. Just overrun. It's gutting our society. It's costing us manpower. It's costing us families. It's costing us financially. It's going to bankrupt. It's eventually, I think, going to bankrupt this country and this drug thing. Why in the world, Brother Jerry, go talk to Brother Johnny Waterman. Why in the world would people take this meth and put that into their bodies? Why, when they know what it does? I'll tell you why, because it's addictive. They say that this meth is one of the most addictive, powerfully addictive narcotics that's ever been created. And people's, I mean, it fries their brain. I remember I went stopped in there to see Brother Johnny here several months ago, and they said he's not here. Some meth guy that was in jail because of his meth usage had a heart attack. I think he was 30-some years of age and had a heart attack. And I went over to the hospital to meet Johnny. Here's this guy on a stretcher. I mean, this meth is absolutely destroying him from the inside out. Let me tell you something. If it's not for the grace of God, when he gets out, he'll go right back to it. You know why? Because it's an addiction. It's a harmful addiction. Many of you in this room, by the way, many people in this room, if the story were to be told, when you got saved, you smoked cigarettes. And you know what? That's a harmful addiction. It really is. It's a harmful addiction. And but you that have gone through the process of having to break that habit know how hard and how difficult and the things that your body had to go through to purge itself of that desire and that nicotine and the effect of it. And, you know, you did the right things. Did the right thing. If you are saved, you ought to quit these addictive, destructive habits. You ought to quit it for the Lord Jesus Christ, number one. You ought to quit it for yourself because of what it does to you. You ought to quit it because of the testimony that you want to have for the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's a little hard to witness to somebody with a peck of Marlboros in your pocket and tell about the grace of God. Well, they want to see the grace of God in your life. And listen, I'm not making light of this. I know people struggle. I know sometimes Christians, we have to be patient. Folks are working towards this and working this out. But at some point, folks, listen to me, there's no shortcut. You just have to say, by the grace of Almighty God, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And you lay those things down, and by the grace of God, you'll walk away from them, and God will give you victory over them, and you can do it. Yes, you can do it! But it's hard. Why is it so hard? Because you were involved in a harmful, addictive habit. You know, we talk about those things because those are obvious things. But a lot of times, Christians have harmful, addictive habits that doesn't involve narcotics, that doesn't involve tobacco, that doesn't involve alcohol. You know, some people are raised critics. They're just critical. They're just negative. I mean, every other thing that comes out of their mouth is a negative statement. They always see the glass half full instead of... Listen, you know, can I share something with you folks? That is a harmful addiction. You are addicted to being negative. You're addicted to being a down and outer and a pouter and a murmur and a disputer. And you know, at some point, you got to face it for what it is. You've been doing that for years and years and years, and you have to face it and attack it and treat it like an harmful addiction. And amen, church, this is good. Some people are addicted to gossip. I mean, absolutely addicted to gossip. I mean, their whole world revolves around trying to run around and find out some story, to be the first to find out something, and then to spread it as far and as fast as they can. I mean, they get this almost, I'm not kidding you, they get a high out of being the one that comes up and tells somebody startling news, especially if it's bad news, the worse the better, and spreading it and watching the shock look on people's face. There's some kind of a high that they receive from this. By the way, that's not a high, that's a low. That's really low. And the Bible talks about this and talks about tellbearers and this and the destruction that they cause amongst people and amongst God's people. And folks, it's a wicked, harmful, it is a wicked, harmful addiction. It's a wicked, harmful addiction. And we look at these things, you know, and we see these things. And there are a lot of things we could talk about. My goodness sakes, I could sit here honestly for the next... we could take the whole afternoon, and I could tell you story after story of story of people that I have met that were controlled, absolutely controlled by an addiction. Now, men, you listen to me, and ladies, you listen to me too. You stay away from the internet, those harmful parts of the internet, you stay away from it. Pornography is an addiction. Yes, it is. It is a powerful addiction. And you start going down that road, and let me tell you something, at the end of that road, there awaits destruction. You need to break that addiction. If you need to get help, you better get help, but you need to get help. And a lot of the things that are happening in society, along with a lot of the hurtful things that are happening, is the fact that this addiction works itself out to its final end. And you know what? All of a sudden, at some point, fantasy crosses over into a reality, and a young lady is hurt, or a child is hurt, or a little boy is hurt, or a marriage is broken up, or adultery is committed, or fornication is committed. Listen to me. You better get that out of your life. Now listen to your preacher. You better get that out of your life. It's nothing to fool around with. It's nothing to play around with. You better take what I'm saying seriously. Young men, you better take what I'm saying seriously. By the way, moms, you help in the house, okay? You know, the only problem about getting the Sunday paper is there's half the Sunday paper is full of with soft porn. Let me tell you what I do. I take the Sunday paper and I take the whole middle section, all those advertising things. You can ask my wife. Every Sunday afternoon, I take the Sunday paper. I take that whole middle section and I hand it over to her and I read the bad news. I save all the bad news for me. And I mean it. You need to watch that. You got teenage boys? You got junior age boys, moms? You better start using some sense. Every flyer that comes in the house, most of them ought to go right in the garbage. Most of them got to go right in the garbage. And we need to be aware of this and understand this stuff can start out very harmless, but it can build into a powerful addiction. And young man, by the way, God can help you. I'm not here condemning you. I'm telling you, God can help you with that. But you can get to the point I've met young men and talked to young men and got to the point where they can't look at a female without having wicked thoughts because they're so addicted to this porn thing. It's a horrible, horrible addiction. Now, we've talked a lot about, and we could talk about a lot of other things. I think we as Christians ought to be careful about giving our mind or our bodies over to anything that is harmful and addictive. Harmful and addictive. Now, I think one of the best ways to replace or to overcome a harmful addiction is with a healthy addiction. See, the Bible says, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. And a lot of times what we do is we want to take out of our lives these harmful things. And we're like the man in the parable that Jesus talked about that cast out the demons and swept out his heart. And you know what? He cast out these harmful demons and he swept out his heart and cleaned himself up. But he didn't put anything else in that vacuum, in that vacancy. He left it empty. He left it open. And sooner or later, that demon wandered around trying to find somewhere else to go. And he said, hey, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go and I'm going to recruit other demons more powerful than me. And I'm going to return. And he returned and found that heart empty. And he reinfested that individual. Only he was worse than he was before. And the problem with people deciding that they're going to go to AA or turn over a new leaf or do all of these other things is, you know what? You can sweep some things up, but if you don't replace it with Jesus Christ, pretty soon that thing's going to come right back and take you over again. I mean, you got to replace it with something. Now, let me introduce to you a family. I like this family. In verse number 15, they're called the House of Stephanus. The house of Stephanus. By the way, they are the first fruits of Achaia. If you remember when Paul had that Macedonian vision and they went over to Macedonia, this is one of, he says, the first fruits. So maybe this is the very first family that he was able to see saved. You know, in every ministry, there's in every history of every church and every man's ministry, anybody that's ever went and planted a church or started a church, you know what? There's that first family that God gives you. I'm not talking about the first person that gets saved but never quite pans out. I'm not talking about the first man or the first woman or the first teenager. I'm talking about the first whole family that gets saved and comes in and settles in, and you know what? They give you something to build on. That is such an exciting thing. And I think for the Apostle Paul, that family was the house of Stephanus. The house of Stephanus. Now, when they got saved, man, they got into it. When they got saved, they decided we're going all the way. I have no idea what was involved in these people's lives or what they were involved with when they got saved. I'm gonna venture a guess. Because I think this is pretty fair. I'm going to venture a guess that before they were saved, they were, of course, unsaved. And before they were saved, they were worldly. And before they were saved, they were probably involved in some things that were harmful addictions. And I think what happened was, here's a dad and his wife and the children, and they said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to sweep out all this stuff out of our life, all these harmful addictions, and what we're going to do is we're going to replace it with a healthy addiction. And they addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Now, let me share something with you folks. There's a wrong things to be addicted to, and then there's the right things to be addicted to. And I want to encourage our hearts this morning in this matter of, why don't you let yourself be addicted to the gospel ministry? Why don't you let yourself be addicted to the ministry of the saints? Now, this is a whole household. Can I have your attention? Look up here a minute. You know what? It's wonderful when a whole household gets it. Now, I've seen situations where a dad comes in and gets saved and gets on fire and tries to get the family involved, but the wife just won't get on board. And because of that, the kids never get on board, and the guy tries to do it by himself. Let me tell you something. I'm glad for that man, but that's a tough situation. I've seen probably more often a lady get excited and get on board and get saved. And man, she gets in and starts serving God. And the dad kind of drags his feet. Or maybe he just comes to church sporadically. And maybe he won't get saved. Because of that, the children are torn in two different directions. And they see the example set by the mother. And they see the example set by the father. And they're torn in two different directions. And it's hard for them. They tend to vacillate back and forth and back and forth. And sometimes, listen young people, sometimes mom and dad get saved. And boy, they jump in feet first and they get with it and they get on it. And you know what? Maybe you weren't 5 when your mom and dad got saved. Maybe you were 12 or 13 or 14 or 15. But you know what? When they got saved, you just decided you didn't know if you wanted to join in on this or not. And in some families, it's young people, it's teenagers. Mom and dad's on fire. Mom and dad's wanting to serve God. And some rebellious teenager is dragging the family down and holding the family back. Hey, I got an idea. Why don't we just decide as a family unit to serve God? Why don't every daddy say, you know what, let's get addicted to the ministry? And mama says, let's get addicted to the ministry. And junior says, let's get addicted to the ministry. And sissy says, let's get addicted to the ministry. I just think there's something wonderful about a family serving God together. Serving God together. Hey, listen, ladies, let me ask you a question. Are you holding your husband back spiritually? Are you a cheerleader for him spiritually? Or are you an anchor dragging him down spiritually? That's a fair question, by the way. Could he or would he do more for God if it wasn't for you and your influence in his life? Or is he excited about doing more for God? And guess what? Guess who's right beside him, helping him and encouraging him, being there as that helpmeet that God wanted you to be? Where are you? Where are you, ladies? If you're not careful, it's very easy to get very selfish. Very selfish. Are you listening to me? Very selfish. And listen, you say, well, he's gone serving God. Why don't you go with him? By the way, husbands, why don't you take her with you? And I think it's neat to see a family get together and serve God and decide to serve God together. And by the way, vice versa. You know, husband, listen to me. It's sad when the wife longs for a spiritual leader but is denied one. Say, well, she wants to be the spiritual leader. I guarantee you that's not true. I've never met a woman in my life that truly in her heart really wants to be the spiritual leader. They want their husband to step up. They want them. Listen, guys, this is good for us. There's nothing wrong with this. This is good for us. I mean, it really is good for me. It's good for you. We need men to step up and lead their family in the right ways. We need men to say, honey, listen to me. I'm not going to sit here in the chair and wave goodbye to you while you take the kids to church. I'm going to be there with you. And I'm going to be there supporting you. And listen to me. You guys got to help each other. Wives, help your husbands. Husbands, help your wives. The honest truth is, sometimes you're going to be a little down and she's going to be up. And you know what? You're going to have to cheerlead him back up. And sometimes, guys, you're going to be up and she's going to be a little bit down. And you're going to have to encourage her and help her. But listen, be a help and a blessing to each other. Just make an agreement. Listen, we're going to get in this thing. And we're going to be faithful to God. And we're going to be faithful to God's house. And we're going to raise our children to serve God and love God. And keep them away from harmful addictions by introducing them to a healthy addiction. And that is the addiction of the ministry. Boy, I like this. I like this. Now, there's some things about this family. Man, this was a first fruits family. This was a brand new Christian family. And you know what? They had a lot to learn, I'm sure. But man, every time they got a taste of something, they got excited about it. Every time they got to be involved in something, they got excited about it. I mean, man, there's something neat about... Can I share this with you? There's something neat about a new Christian, new convert zeal about the ministry. Man, if somebody around here is newly on board and they're excited, don't be a wet blanket. Don't walk over there and try to damper their enthusiasm. Shame on you. Shame on you. You know what that's called? That's called guilt. That's what it's called. It's called conviction. You're trying to drag them down because they're showing you up. You've been saved 20 years. They've been saving 20 minutes and they're doing more for God than you are. Shame on you. Don't throw cold water on them. Man alive. And so there's something exciting about that, isn't there? First fruits of Achaia, and here this house of Stephanus, and what are they doing? They're out there serving the Lord, and they're addicting themselves to the ministry. Now, let me give you three things about the house of Stephanus this morning that I've noticed in this matter of addiction. Number one, verse 15, I mentioned this several times, but number one, they addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. They were addicted to the ministry. They were addicted to the ministry. You know, I want every single one of you not just to be saved, but I want you to get addicted to the ministry of the saints. I want you to get involved in doing something for the Lord Jesus Christ and let it be an addiction. Let it be an addiction. I mean, just give yourself fully to it. What's this word addiction mean, Brother Jerry? It means to this. It means that they set themselves towards it. They appointed themselves to it. They ordered themselves towards it. They gave themselves wholly to it. I mean, they just sold out. I like to see somebody take a bus route and sell themselves out to it. I like to see somebody take a Sunday school class and sell themselves out to it. I like somebody to take a nursing home and sell themselves. And listen, don't show up unprepared and do it halfway. Good night. Listen, most of the nursing home service is once a month. And you know what you ought to be? Well, it's once a month. It's still 30 days away. Well, you ought to be already planning and practicing and preparing because, listen to me, you only got one shot a month. Why don't you give yourselves wholly to it? I like to see somebody that comes into school and they want to work and they want to help, and they don't walk around looking like somebody dragged them in and beat them up and got them there by gunpoint. No, they're excited to be there. They want to be there. They have a heart to be there, and they've addicted themselves to the ministry. I like to see teachers that, you know what? They may come be snotting and sneezing and fevering, but you know what? You just about have to meet them at the door to keep them out of the classroom. You know why? Because they can't imagine not being there for their students. Why? They're addicted to the ministry. Now listen, folks, we need a good, old-fashioned, healthy dose of good Holy Ghost addiction to the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, get involved. Get excited. Roll your sleeves up. Stop trying to back out and start back, but instead head into it with a new fervor and a new zeal, and ask God to give you an addiction to the ministry. I love serving the Lord. I love this last week. Some of you this last week got a little taste of the addiction. Little taste of the addiction. I mean, I got to say something about him because Brother Brian came to me. Brother Brian Delaney came to me, and I've laughed all week at you, Brother Brian. But it's a good laugh, okay? But there's something exciting about it. I said, Brother Brian, this is your first vacation Bible school. Is this your first vacation Bible school to ever work in? He said, no, it's my first vacation Bible school ever of any kind. I've never went to vacation Bible school. I mean, you know what he told me on Friday? Now listen to this. He told me, you know what? We ought to just keep doing this on and on and on. We should do this. Yeah, y'all are laughing, I know. But, he was excited. I look over there and I see him. I watch Dawn during the preaching, and Dawn's shaking her head. And man, I look down and those kids are getting saved. And these two are just sitting there in wonderment. And Brian's tripping over himself trying to get a Bible. He wants to lead one of them to Christ. You know what they're getting a little bit of taste of? Now, I could tell you some addiction stories about Brian, all right? I won't do that, though. No, I mean, he knows. You know what? There's a bad addiction and there's a good addiction. There's a wrong addiction, there's a right addiction. And the problem is, you know what? Brother Brian, the honest truth is, if you don't get addicted to something positive, one of these days you'll go back to that negative. That's true of all of us. Isn't that true of all of us? And I'm going to tell you something, folks. I'm worried when people start putting it into neutral and coasting. I mean this, folks. I mean it. I worry when I start seeing people backing out. Well, we got a little too over-involved. I just feel like we're just spread a little thin. And they start backing out of things. And next thing you know, folks, I'm going to tell you what, some addiction is going to control your life. Something you're going to be passionate about. Something's going to drive you. You will find a cause. So what I think you ought to do is stay addicted to the ministry. Stay addicted to the cause of Jesus Christ. I mean, there's just something about seeing. You want a high? You want a high? You'll win somebody to Jesus. Brother, there isn't a chemical out there that can produce the feeling that you have as a Christian when you get to share the gospel with somebody that's under conviction and hungry and wanting to be saved, and they sit there and listen to you and soak it up, and they bow their head and they pray the sinner's prayer and they cry out to God, and you realize right in front of you somebody's being made a new creature. Their name's being written in the Lamb's Book of Life. They were headed to hell when you start talking to them, and after they said amen, they're on their way to heaven, and God lets you have a part of that. Woo! Man alive. I'll never forget. I could tell you the guy's name. I could take you to the spot. I remember the first time I ever won somebody to Christ, and I've been addicted to it ever since. I mean, I want to go out this week and get my rush, get my hit, get my high. You know what that is? Knocking doors, talking to somebody, looking, asking the Holy Spirit to lead me, finding somebody that's not saved, getting the chance to give them the gospel. Now, you go chase with the booze crowd if you want to do it. But at the end of that road is destruction, folks. If you want to go with the drug crowd, go ahead. You want to go with the rock and roll crowd and the dance crowd and the nightclub crowd? You want to go there? You want to go with the fornicators? Go ahead. But I'm going to tell you what. You ought to just get rid of all that stuff. Get it out of your life. Say, I'm going to become addicted to the gospel. I like it when I see people get addicted to the bus ministry. Just get addicted to it. They're not filling this spot until a pastor can find somebody else, and as soon as he can, we're getting out of this. That's not their mentality. I mean, they're into it for the long haul. They want to serve God. They just love to see those kids come on the bus. They love reaching teenagers. They go after those parents tenaciously. They pray for them. They've got a prayer list. They walk around. I mean, you know what? They live and die by what happens on Sunday. It's not the kind of people you got to pull in the office and say, what's going on? Are you visiting? Are you going out there? Are you knocking any new doors? I mean, you don't have to talk to these kind of... You know why? They are addicted to it. They're addicted to it. They want to do it. Sunday school teachers, listen to me. Your job responsibilities is not for 40 minutes on Sunday morning. Did you hear me? Your job responsibilities are not for 40 minutes. Shame on you, shame on you, shame on you. If it's been weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks and you've never walked into one of your students' houses, went and visited any of your students, and let them know that you love them, meet their parents. Listen, you know what? You'll teach your class a completely different way if you can look out and you know every kid by name and you've been in all their houses and you know their parents and you know what kind of home life they have. Let me tell you something. When you stand up there to teach them, it won't be some kind of a clinical lecture. You'll preach and teach out of a broken heart. You'll love them. You won't have to say, "Oh God, please give me tears." They'll be there. So just get addicted to it. Get addicted to the ministry. Number two, I've got to hurry. Why don't we get it? Not only did they get addicted to the ministry, but to this Stephanus. There was a errand that needed to be run. And they had taken up an offering there in Corinth, and it needed to be delivered to Paul. And Stephanus was amongst three men. In verse number 17, he says that he was glad for their coming, for that which was lacking on your part they have supplied. I think not only did the household of Stephanus get addicted to the ministry, but they got addicted to giving. They got addicted to giving. He said, "Brother Jerry, is giving addictive?" I think it is. I think it is. It has been in my life. I mean it. It has been in my life. You know, the Bible says God loveth a cheerful giver. You know, I think one of the most exciting things in the world is discover how fun giving is. I told this story before, but I'm going to tell it real quick again. When we were on the bus route up there in Chicago, and First Baptist Church gave away a lot of things and did a lot of promotion during our spring and fall programs. The only part I really hated about that was the mentality that began to build in the young people. I'd start knocking on doors up there, and they'd come to the door, and they'd say, the first thing out of their mouth is, "What are you giving away this week? What are they having this week?" You know, and they start getting that mentality. And you know what? That started burning the fire out of me. I mean, not, what am I going to learn this week, or I get to go to church this week, but what are you giving away this week? I'm not against giving away things for kids to come into Sunday school, but I think it can be overdone where that just gets to be the driving force of why they're coming. I started noticing this. We had a good crowd on the bus, and there was a lot of kids on the bus, but it was during the fall program, and Saturday after Saturday, I'm hearing, what are you going to give us? And so Thanksgiving Sunday was coming, and I became aware of a family in our route that was absolutely destitute. And by the way, destitute for the reasons I've already talked about, because the man in that family was a slave to wrong addictions. I've been in that house that previous week, and there was absolutely not a bite of food in that house. I mean, we're talking about college students, Bible college students. And we gathered ourselves together in a little group, and we scrounged up what little bit of money we had. And by the way, we've done this over and over and over again. And can I tell you something? It's addictive. It's all right. It's addictive. It's fun. Take the last few dollars in our pocket. You say, "Well, what'd you do for lunch?" We didn't eat lunch that day. What'd you do for supper? We didn't eat supper that day. You know what? Because somebody hadn't eaten for a week. So we scraped what we could together, and we went down and we went to the grocery store and we bought the simple necessities of life and brought it. We did the best we could, but this family was destitute. It was absolutely destitute. And Thanksgiving Sunday was Thanksgiving after the Sunday after Thanksgiving was coming, and sure enough, Saturday here they come. I knocked on the doors, and the kids are asking the same things. Middle of the fall program. What are we having? And I told all our workers, listen, the answer to that question today is absolutely nothing. Because this week is not about what you get, it's about what you give. And we challenged every family on that route. And by the way, if I could take you to that neighborhood, we're talking about people that didn't have a whole lot themselves. But we told them, there's a family on our route. I'm not going to tell you who it is. It's none of your business, but they are absolutely destitute. And what we want you to do, by the way, the same thing we had the kids do this week, I said, I want you to buy a couple cans. I want you to see what you've got extra in food. I want you to buy a pack of tortillas or whatever your family can afford. And let's put all this together. And Sunday afternoon on the way home, we'll go by this house and we'll give this family this food. And man, I had a couple cardboard boxes, and those kids, I thought to myself, you know, it sounds like a great idea, but your only fear is nobody's going to come. Because they start kind of looking like, what do you mean? We're not getting anything? You want us to do what? They seemed almost confused. No, you're going to give. And so the next Sunday, we drove around, and you know what? Here they come, and man, they got on the... I've never seen them so excited. They're carrying cans, just like I've seen the looks of the faces of these kids. Some of them would come in with bags of... You know why? Because, listen to me, folks, it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. The Bible isn't a book of lies. It is more blessed to give. It is more blessed to give than receive. It is more blessed to give than receive. Yes, it is. Try it. You'll love it. It's addictive. And I'd open that bus. Here comes these kids, and they'd carry a pack of tortillas, a couple of cans. Little kids get on the bus, and they start filling that up. And the fuller those boxes got, the more excited. Man, they couldn't wait till Sunday school and church was out. They run out to the bus. Where are we going? Who is it? I'll show you when we get there. And the kids rode the bus. And you know what? The kids who we were gathering the food up for brought something. They didn't bring much, but they brought a little something. And we pulled in front of their house, and I went up there and knocked on the door, and that mama come to the door, and I said, we got something. The kids carried out these boxes, and the workers helped them and laid this food on the sidewalk in front of their house, and that woman sat there clutching her kids, and the kids were crying, and the mama's crying, and I'm crying, and the workers are crying, and the kids are crying, and they all get back on the bus, and they're waving goodbye. And by the way, next Sunday morning when we pulled in front of that house, that lady's name was Emma Hernandez. She came, walked out, dressed in the very best she had with her two children, rode the bus, and came and received Jesus Christ as her Savior the next Sunday. By the way, she sat on the back of that bus and started bringing lost Spanish, Hispanic adults on that bus. I would preach on the bus, in the front of the bus. She'd sit in the back with the adults and interpret all the way to church. Everything I said as I was leading the program, all of the songs, she would interpret for the message. And then when she'd get them there, she'd take them all to Spanish church. And that lady was responsible probably for dozens of people receiving Christ as their Savior. And let me tell you something, though. Those kids, next week when I knocked on the door, it wasn't, what do we get? It's, who can we help? You know why? Because it's addictive. It's addictive. There's nothing better in the world than seeing a need and going and filling that need. There's nothing better than having an opportunity. Oh, Brother Jerry, we got a lot going on around here. You better believe we got a lot going on. Well, it takes a lot of money. That's right! And can I share this with you? Americans have a lot of money. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. I liked what Sister Lori said this morning. We taught about needs. We taught them what needs were. What needs are. I think maybe we ought to all learn that. My Bible says if you got food and raiment, why don't you just learn to be content? You realize how many missionaries could be on the field? You realize, folks, we've got to raise money for a building out here. You know, I was thinking about Brother Renus Wagner this morning. You know, God brings people in your mind. And listen, I'm not trying to pick one and forget another. There's people, saints of God, that have gone on to heaven that have done. But I'll tell you this. I don't know if anybody in here knows or not. I'm just going to blurt it out. I don't think he can lose his reward because he didn't say it. I'm saying it. You know how many times Renus Wagner went to a pastor while he was alive and said, we need a new bus. We need another bus. Here's money. Go buy a bus. I wonder if he's glad he did that now. By the way, Brother John, where's Brother John? John Reiser? We need a bus, don't we? Need a bus. It costs about $3,500 for a bus. You know, I think Brother Renus, he was always out there watching the buses coming in. I think he knew which one was his. I think he just sat out there and watched those kids come off that bus with a big smile on his face. Are you listening to me? Why are we so stingy? Are you hearing me? Why are we so stingy? Are you listening to me? We got to have this, we got to have that, we got to keep up with the Joneses, and then we got to keep up with the Smiths, then we got to keep up with this group and that group. Let me share this with you real quickly. If you haven't learned to tithe, you know what? Tithing is addictive. Then you graduate to offerings, and you find out offerings are addictive. Then you say, I'm going to give to the building program, and that gets to be addictive. Then you get to give to missions and you think, you know what, maybe we can give more. Listen, we've done this for years, and listen, I'm not an example of anything, but you know what, this ought to be regular Christianity. For every year, for years, we have every year sat down and said, no matter how much we give last year, we're going to increase it some this year in every area. And we just keep increasing. Could I share something with you? I can't keep up with God. Now, you can sit there and hoard and hold and make excuses and rob God and be stingy, but I'm going to tell you something. Whether you realize it or not, you're missing a great addiction. Because there's something wonderful about walking past buildings, walking past buses, and seeing things happening and say, I got to have a part in that! I got to have a part in that. You see, he was addicted to the ministry. He was addicted to giving. And in this last one, he was addicted. This whole family was addicted to encouragement. Look at verse number 18. For they, T-H-E-Y, they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore acknowledge ye them that are such. You know what? There's just something addictive about deciding that you're going to be an encouragement and a refreshment to God's people. A refreshment to God's people. You know, there's young people that you like to see and bump into in the foyer, and there's some that you just... Are you listening to me? Why don't you just be a blessing? Young people, why don't you be refreshing? Stop running past and sometimes running over these elderly people as they're trying to get to their car. Why don't you stop and shake their hands and tell them how glad you are that they're here and refresh their spirit? Refresh their spirit. I really am overdue to give a big, gigantic thank you to Blessed Hope Baptist Church, and I don't know how to do it. But I can't tell you in the last 6 months how many times somebody's put a note in our hands or a card in our mailbox. Or just come by and said, Brother Jerry, I love you and I'm praying for you. You don't know how many times that has absolutely refreshed our spirit and helped us get through another day or another couple of days. Sister Sheila walked out last week and I stopped and I hope I refreshed your spirit. Tried to encourage you. You know why? Because she needs it right now. Stopped by Lowell's the other day. Why? Well, I made up a reason that I was looking for something, but I just really wanted to see Chris. I wanted to find out how he was doing. And I encouraged him so much, he quit Lowell's. And so I can't find him now, I guess. So, oh, he got another job, but a different job. But I just, you know why? I just thought about him, just checking on him. Are you listening to me? You know, it's a great thing just to write somebody a note. It's a great thing just to give somebody a call and encourage them. It's a great thing just to put a smile on your face and be a refreshment to somebody. You know what? That doesn't cost a dime. Maybe you can't buy a bus, but you could smile. Okay, maybe you can't buy a new sign for the church, but you can shake somebody's hand. You can take a piece of paper, write an encouraging note, and find 37 cents, can't you? I mean, you can go to your Sunday school teacher, can't you, children? At the end of next week, and instead of running out the door and almost trampling them, couldn't you stop and reach up, give them a hug, and say, thank you for teaching our class. I love you. You don't know how much I learned in this class. Thank you for being a blessing to me. Do you have any idea how much of a refreshment to their spirit that would be? I mean, folks, the best things in life don't cost anything except a few minutes of our time. Are you listening? Are you listening to me? Are you getting this? And you know what you'll find out? That kind of behavior is addictive. 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 Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. There's a Savior in heaven that loves you. If you're here without Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the best advice that I can give you is, would you be please be saved today? God loves you. Christ loves you. He loved you so much, He died on an old rugged cross for you. You see, us humans aren't very good at doing things that are helpful and positive. Matter of fact, without Jesus Christ, none of that stuff that's worthwhile is ever done. We're real good at finding destructive things to be involved in. We're not very good about finding good positive things. And Lord,
would bless you and help you if you got saved. He'd give you a new desire and a new hunger. If you're here without Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me tell you that Jesus Christ loves you and He wants to save you. Well, I'd like to be saved, I just don't know how. We begin to sing in just a moment. If you'll just step to the nearest aisle, walk up here, I've got two men up here that'll shake your hand and they will find somebody to take the Bible and show you how to be saved. You ought to be saved today. Jesus Christ can change your life. Can change your life. Christians, we ought to get addictive to some good things. But you're not going to do it if you don't until you get those harmful addictions out of your life. Get out the evil and replace it with good. Get out the evil and replace it for good. God wants to use some of you so bad, but you know what? Some perverted or messed up or mixed up addiction is preventing you from being used of God. It may be something people know about. It may be a private thing in your heart, but let me share this with you. You ought to just give yourself anew to God this morning. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd help us to learn what it means to be addicted to the ministry of the saints, to be addicted to giving, to be addicted to encouragement. Lord, help us to be used as tools of God in this dark, wicked world. Lord, help us to shine as lights. I pray for that one that may be nearest hell right here in this auditorium. They've never been saved. They don't know how close eternity is. I pray that they wouldn't put salvation off for one more day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.